Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Grosse Pointe Farms, Michigan, earned a BBA in economics from the University of Michigan. He started his broadcast journalism career at WWTV in Cadillac, Michigan. Since 2003, we've been listening to him as an anchor reporter for Fox TV. He's also, since August, WJR's afternoon host of JR Afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. His name? Ryan Armani. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're with our own afternoon host, Ryan Armani. Ryan, welcome.
Jack, what an honor it is to be with you walking the halls of WJR. Anytime we see your smiling face, that's a good day.
Wow. All right, let's go back to your childhood, your mom and your dad, growing up, please.
God, such tremendous people. I have been, in my life, very fortunate. When my parents got divorced, I was 5 years old, and I cannot remember a time where I ever saw them fight in front of me. It was, you know, you come from divorced parents, and you hear a lot of nastiness and a lot of being pulled in each direction. Saw my parents every day, saw my dad every day, saw my mom every day. They got along, their marriage just didn't work out, but in the end, it was a co-parenting situation, and we lived with my mom, but you know, my dad coached all our sports teams, picked us up from school, and we did athletics. It was a tremendous upbringing, one that I would not trade for the world.
What's the biggest thing you learned from mom? And the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Biggest thing I learned from mom was loyalty, family, and compassion. Biggest thing I learned from my dad was hardworking. That guy got up for work every single day, and I can't remember a day that he actually missed or called in sick to work. He was just one of those guys, blue-collar guy, paycheck-to-paycheck guy. And if you didn't go to work, you didn't get paid. So he'd always go to work. and you know, with my mom, I mean, family is everything to her. And she is in, you know, her parents both came here from Lebanon. She is 100% Lebanese. And let me tell you, family means everything. And food.
All right. Grosse Pointe South High School.
Yes.
All right. Football, baseball. How good were you?
That's a loaded question, Jack. I could Al Bundy out on you and tell you all these great things. I scored 4 touchdowns at Polk High. I was a really good athlete. I played varsity football as a freshman at Grosse Pointe South, and at the time, that was unheard of. And I thought one day I would be a professional athlete until about my junior year in high school, when you can really start to see some separation. Still very good. I was captain of football, captain of baseball. I had a passion for sports. But it was right around that junior year when I realized, okay, I mean, I'm definitely not as good as I thought I was compared to some of the great athletes out there. But it was at that point where I realized I wanted to do something in the sports field. And that's when I really started taking a look at sports television as a career choice. It was really something that I wanted to do, stay in sports. And I was always fascinated with television. So I merged the two and went out and went from there.
Went to the University of Michigan.
Go Blue.
Got a degree in economics.
Yes.
All right. All right. Let's go.
Interesting story about that, too. I just thought I had to be realistic with my life. You know, we grow up and people tell you to follow your dreams until it's time to go down that path and follow your dreams. Or, you know, I was always told, too, you got to be realistic about your future. So many people want to be in sports television. So many people want to be on television, on the radio, in the public light, in the public eye, in the sports field. So I did what I thought I had to do. Go get pretty generic business type major. And from there, I became a sports anchor.
Well, maybe the Lord was thinking, you know, with the salary caps of the future, Ryan, and this NIL stuff of the future, you have to have economic background in order to be a sports
No doubt about it. You know what? I never took one broadcasting class in my life in college. And I think that is one of the things that ultimately has benefited me in my career. I am you. I am the regular guy out there that is asking the questions that anybody in my position would ask. Just talk a little common sense to me here, whether that's in sports, whether that's in news or politics, and that's how I go about my job.
All right, let's go to the last school day, junior year, U of M.
Never
it's
forget
the
it.
The Naked Mile, the famous Naked Mile. It
changed my life.
Changed your life.
It did. So the they don't do this anymore in Ann Arbor, but the last day of school at the University of Michigan, it was called the Naked Mile, where students run naked through the streets. And I wasn't running, but a bunch of my friends were. And Fanchon Stinger, a longtime Detroit News Fox 2 reporter here in Detroit, was there in Ann Arbor doing a story. Ultimately did a story on my friends. I had a little bit of liquid courage going on at the time. Listen, it's the Naked Mile. It's the last day of school. Why not? So I went up to Fanchon Stinger and I said, I want to be a sports guy. Do you have any internships? And she took my name and number and said, you know what? Somebody help me. I'll see what I can do. Next day, she called me. I talked to Dan Miller. You're all set. Come on in. And my story, interesting point about this, Jack, my story could not happen today. That would not happen in 2026. Nowadays, you got to go through, you know, HR departments, and you got to go through interview processes, and you have to go through the online application. And there's so many steps and so many roadblocks that you have to do. Back then, it was word of mouth. You met people, you talked to people, you had a handshake. And that's how I ultimately became an intern at Fox 2. I think I actually filled out my job application there on one of the final days I worked there to prove that I actually had the internship there.
We're talking to Ryan Romani. When we come back, we're going to ask him about 2001. Gets a job in Cadillac, Michigan. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula with Ryan Romani. Ryan, 2001, Cadillac, Michigan, please.
It's unbelievable. So after my junior year, when I interned at Fox 2 with Dan Miller and Jennifer Hammond and Woody Woodruff and Greg Kanner, it was tremendous. So my senior year at that point, they didn't bring me back to fully intern there again because they had a new crop of candidates, but I did stay in contact with them and I did fill in with them. I became a fill-in producer at Fox 2. At that point, I made a mock anchor tape and a mock sports reporter tape. And we had these VHS tapes. I applied to 51 jobs. The first 50 tapes. And back then, we literally sent VHS tapes. Your resume, essentially, much like a radio demo or anything, was a video. Nobody cared what a piece of paper said back then. We wanted to see what you look like on television, how you spoke, what you did. And a piece of paper doesn't do that, but a VHS tape does. 50 tapes. It was an incredible number. Never heard one thing. I applied from everywhere, from Saginaw, Michigan, to Pocatello, Idaho, to Fargo, North Dakota, and everywhere in between. Every small market television station. On my 51st tape, I sent a tape to Kevin Dunaway, who was the news director at 9 and 10 News in Cadillac, Michigan. I got a response and said, come on in for an interview. Oh my gosh, my first response on tape number 51 that I sent out. An incredible round number. So I went up there and they offered me $15,500 to be the sports reporter anchor at 9 and 10 News. And man, I would have paid them $15,500 for that job. So I began there in 2001. And you do everything, Jack. I mean, you are the cameraman, you are the writer, you are the editor. You learn every aspect of the television business in these jobs, in these small markets. You broadcast to the top 50% of the state, so that's why it's 9 and 10 News, because in different parts of the state, it was Channel 9, in other parts, it was Channel 10. But that was an experience I wouldn't trade for the world. I was there for 1 year and met some great people up there, many of them who are now down at Fox 2 as well.
2003, you join Fox 2. So we've been listening and watching you for 22 plus years. How'd you get that job?
It's incredible. So I always stayed in contact with Dan and Jen and Woody and Greg Kanner and everybody at Fox 2 in the sports department. You know, one of the things about whether it's television, radio, business, whatever, at a gas station, whatever, wherever you work, relationships are the most important thing. How you treat people, how you talk to people, that it's so important. And so after Cadillac, I went to Toledo. I was in Toledo for a year as well in 2002. And then Ryan Field, I don't know if that name, if anybody remembers that name, but Ryan Field had the sports job at Fox 2. He was leaving Fox 2. He called me and said, hey, I want to give you a heads up. I'm leaving. I'm going to go to Fox Sports Detroit, which is now FanDuel Sports Network here. It's had a bunch of different names, but he left Fox 2 and went to Fox Sports Detroit. So there was going to be an opening in the department. Jack, I swear, I called Dan every day. I called Dana Hahn, who was the news director at the time, every day. I showed up at the building, knocked on the door. Is there anything? I mean, I put the full court press on to get this job. And weeks had gone by, months had gone by. There was an opening for a long time. I think it was like 2 months in between the time that the job opened to the time that it was filled. And ultimately, I got hired. And the rest is history. Funny story, years after I got the job, I had been at Fox 2 for at least over 5 years at the time. I asked Dana Hahn, who hired me, you know, why did you hire me? And she said, you know, there were so many better candidates than you for that job, but you and your determination to get the job, I wanted to take a chance on that. And it was hopefully the chance that she took ultimately paid off for the company as well. So here I am.
Jennifer Hammond, Marion High School.
One of the greatest people you'll meet.
Wanted to be a sports reporter since age 5. What's the biggest thing she taught you?
Oh, God. Jen is a trailblazer in this city, in this state, in this business. I mean, Jennifer Hammond is one of the most professional sports reporters you will find. She calls it like she sees it. Her determination to get the story is as incredible as anybody you will find in the business. She does any job at any time, will talk to anybody, and will track you down to get the story. Her will to get the story, her will to get the story right is among some of the great things. And she is not afraid to barge down that door to say, I belong here. And obviously now in the 2026 and even in the 2000s, but when she broke in, you know, in the early 90s and the mid 90s, it was not as, I don't believe, a welcoming a place, a sports locker room for a female journalist at the time, for a female sports journalist at the time. But boy, did she barrel down that door. And she is one of the most professional, one of the most loving, caring people I know.
Dan Miller.
God, he's taught me everything I know. If you don't like me, blame him. Right? No, I mean, that's my mentor. That's my mentor, that guy.
When Nicole says, honey, I don't like you today, do you say it's Dan
right.
Miller's
you
fault,
know what?
Honey?
Jack, we could finish up the entire show with me singing the praises of Dan Miller. I mean, Dan Miller has helped me in this business. Dan Miller has helped me in my life. Dan Miller is one of the true role models that any person coming up in any business can have. If you are a young person and you want to see how it's done in your industry, I hope you have a Dan Miller to show you the way and to show you the way it is supposed to be done. Dan Miller has never asked anybody in that department to do anything that he isn't willing to do himself. Working the extra days, coming in early, staying late. And again, the approach to the job, not being so reactionary. We live in this reactionary, give me the answer right now. His level-headedness approach to every sport, every topic is so inspiring. And it goes beyond what happens at work. If you're going through something in your life, and I have had a couple of ups and downs in my life, that all which has led me to who I am today, Dan Miller is right there to offer guidance. Dan Miller has always stood by me no matter what I was going through. This man is a treasure. And I truly believe he is among, when you look at the great sportscasters, newscasters, media personalities in the city of Detroit, Dan Miller belongs on that list.
We're talking to Ryan Armani. Very few sports reporters ever make the transition to news. Dave Llewellyn did it.
Yep.
A one-arm, three-fingered paper hanger could name the people that have done it. Ryan Armani's done it. When we come back, we're going to ask him, how'd he do it? And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Ryan Armani since 2003. He's been anchor reporter with Fox 2 TV. All right. Very few make the transition from sports to news. How'd you do it?
Well, it's interesting because it was never my intention at all to leave the sports department at Fox 2. In 2016, there was an opening down on the morning show. And Dana Hahn, my boss, had always said that I have a personality that should be on morning television. And I never thought about that at all. But there was an opportunity to do it, so I was moved to the morning. And family played into it a little bit at the time. Or I shouldn't say a little bit, a lot at the time. In 2016, my daughter was 1 year old. I barely saw her at all in her first year of life, because in the sports department, you are working, you know, 2:30 to 11:30. You get home at midnight, 12:30. You stay up for an hour because you don't just go to bed when you get home from work. So you stay up for an hour, 1:30, 2 o'clock, I'm going to bed, baby's sleeping, wake up 10, 11 o'clock, get a little something to eat, you go to work. The schedule of a sportscaster is not ideal for family life. So this was an opportunity to see what that was going to be like, too. And I just, my personality is very happy-go-lucky kind of approach. And I think that fits in the morning. People want to smile and laugh in the morning. When people invite you to your home, they want the warmth. They want a lot of that. So I think that was my biggest calling card in making the transition. And look, From where I came from, my background, you know, divorced parents, paycheck to paycheck people, very hardworking people, not missing a day of work. I am the average guy. I truly believe I'm just like everybody else. The only difference between me and you, perhaps, you out there listening, is I have a really cool job. That is the only difference. And I think that comes off as a very genuine personality on the air, because I am genuine. If there's one thing about me that is my best quality and maybe my worst, it's just say it like it is to a fault. I will always tell the truth no matter what. And sometimes that's to my benefit. And sometimes people don't like that either. So I do think the genuine nature of who I am is a perfect fit for a morning show.
22 plus years.
Yes.
We've been watching you. Was there one or two people that you interviewed that you walked away with and said, wow?
Sylvester Stallone is the first guy. That was my childhood hero growing up. And when you're in sports, I was a sports fan my whole life, and then I get into sports, and I've interviewed every sports athlete that you name them. I have spent time with that person interviewing them at some point, even Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods, all of them. Sometimes these guys, and no, I will not tell you who is on this list, but sometimes these guys are not who they are. Some guys, they leave you and you're like, oh man, I'm so disappointed in that guy. So I didn't want to interview Sylvester Stallone because I didn't want him to ruin it for me. I didn't want my childhood hero to ruin it for me. But I took the opportunity to interview him. And Jack, let me tell you, it was one of the greatest moments of my life to sit in a room and interview Rocky Balboa for 10 minutes. It was incredible.
Hey, Adrian.
That's what I said. Yo, Adrian.
All right. Is there someone that you'd love to have a lunch with going forward?
Donald Trump. I'd love to have a lunch with Donald Trump. You know, it's interesting because Bill Maher, who I'm a fan of Bill Maher. He's more liberal. A commentator who has had some very tough things to say about Donald Trump, but the two of them had a dinner together. And what Bill Maher says about Donald Trump, how different he is in a personal, private setting compared to what you see on TV, it was like two completely different people. And I think I'd like to see that side of him.
All right, let's go to July 7th, 2025. I was at WJR that afternoon, and you walk in for the first day as our new afternoon host.
It's
how?
Well, you tell me, Jack, because I still sometimes don't even know if I belong at this place. Because this place, WJR, is, in my world, this was and is Detroit. When you think of Detroit, you think of the Tigers and the Lions and, you know, Kronk Jim, WJR. I mean, that WJR logo is everything. It used to be on all of the different bridges and overpasses and everything. I mean, you think of the hosts that have come through here that are still here today. It's royalty in Detroit. The logo is iconic. The building is iconic. And it's funny, when I did get the job, I'm 22 years at Fox 2, right? My dad pats me on the shoulder and says, son, you finally made it. I think that's the greatest thing. Like, to heck with TV. You're on WJR, and man, I do pinch myself every time I come in the building, and that's not a punchline. It's not a saying. I truly feel honored to be in this building, in these studios, with these people, with these professionals, having my name next to that logo. Man, I just can't even tell you what that means to me.
All right, since 2016, you've been the co-host of Good Day Detroit
on
Fox. And now, got the 2 to 4 here in JR. Tell us, what's a typical day like?
Well, I wake up at 4:30. I leave the house at 5. I get to work at 5:30. We meet at the television station at about 6 a.m. for our 9 o'clock show. So we meet from 6 to 7. From 7 to 8, I do a lot of prep work for TV and now radio in that 7 to 8 hour. It's a lot of continuous themes. So 7 to 8, I do that. 8 to 9, I'm usually on the air for 3 different hits, 8, 8:35, 8, 8:52. I have 3 different hits in the 8 o'clock hour. At 9 o'clock, I'm on the air, 9 to 11. We meet at Fox 2 post-show Good Day Detroit meeting, 11 to 11:30. From 11:30 to 12:30, I do my show prep here in the car at about 12:40, in the studio at 1 p.m. And then at 1 o'clock, I will get with my producer, Beth Ann Long. We'll talk from about 1 to 1:40, and then I start getting my head straight, and we do the show from 2 to 4. And then I'm home at 4:35, 4:45, and we start all over again the next day.
We're talking to Ryan Romani. When we come back, we're going to ask him the difference between TV and radio. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club, developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything.
I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Ryan Romani. Since August of 2025, he's been WJR's afternoon host from 2 to 4. A great addition. All right, the difference between TV and radio.
It's a huge difference, actually. And one of the things, here's where Good Day Detroit helps me a lot. And in my experience in television, I have never been a guy that truly just sits there and reads the prompter. Even when you're in sports, you're doing highlight reels. So you're a little bit more animated. You're not as teleprompter focused. There was a Sunday night show called the Roundtable Segment, Sports Work Sunday Night at Fox 2. That is all ad lib. So many television jobs are teleprompter driven, where you're just kind of reading words on a screen. At Good Day Detroit, the nine, formerly the nine that we called it, it is the three of us, Dina Senafani, Maria Lou, and myself. We have maybe one or two lines of prompter to get us into a story, and then it's all conversation, which has really helped me in radio. Because, look, there is no teleprompter behind this radio microphone. You are out there on your own. I will say with television as well, it is... we have a lot of input. I don't want you to think that we don't have a lot of input, but it is the producers really do a lot of the legwork. They help you out a lot, and you kind of gear towards what they're giving you. In radio, and I work with Brian Morton here for the first 6 months I've been here or so, and now Beth Ann Long. In radio, a producer can give you a story, but if you have no passion for it, it will fall flat. In television, a producer can give you a story, say, I need you to do this, and you can get through it I can get through anything for a 2 or 3 minute segment. For a 2 hour show, that doesn't work at all. So that is among the biggest differences. I could talk about anything you want. I could hate the story. I could not be interested in the topic at all, but I can give you a good 2 to 3 minutes on the topic and be done with it, and you wouldn't know that I truly was not interested in that topic. I don't want to say fake it on TV. That's not the right way to say it, but the audience could tell in radio that you don't like what you're talking about. You don't like this subject. So I think, to me, you have to have a passion for the topic that you're talking about in radio. Beth Ann Long can hand me a list of 10 different topics with everything about the topic that you could possibly want. But if it doesn't drive my belly, if it's not in my gut, if I truly don't have a passion for that, it's going to fall flat with the audience. And the ability to just talk coherently and make sense to the audience, make an argument, why are you for or against what is happening, that is a big difference. And also, you know, for me in television, I've got two co-hosts where I might go 6 minutes without saying a word. You go 6 minutes without saying a word in radio, man, you're going to have a lot of dead air. So that's another difference that I would say, just the fact that I am out here behind the microphone on my own as opposed to having the two co-hosts on television.
Years ago, I had Bill Bonds on.
Oh, God.
You know, and I always say,
got a great
guest,
story about him.
Seven-time Emmy Award-winning Bill Bonds. And normally, you know, they say, great to be with you, and let me ask a question. I never asked him a question. The first segment was supposed to be 7 minutes. I didn't say a word for 10 minutes. I couldn't get him. He grabbed that microphone. Yeah. Unbelievable.
That is one of the things, when you know you have that guy, that kind of guy, you just get out of the way and let him go, right? That's what it's all about. Bill Bonds, actually, interesting.
Like George Burns with Gracie Ellen.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. You're a kid growing up in Detroit. Bill Bonds is a god, for lack of a better way to say it, right? Bill Bonds called me, and I wish I would have saved this voicemail. I didn't know how to save a voicemail at the time. This is pre-cell phone. I mean, I had a cell phone, but one of those probably like Nokia push button. Bill Bonds called me, left me a message at Fox 2 one day, and he said, Ryan, this is Bill Bonds here. I just want to let you know that I think you are really good. And I'm telling you, there is no award, there is no anything that you could get better than that. And I wish to God I would have saved that.
All right. How has the internet changed your job these past 22 plus years?
It's changed everything. It really has. I mean, you used to compete against, you know, for instance, I'll talk it Channel 2 for a minute. At Fox 2, we used to compete against Channel 4 and Channel 7. That is not our competition anymore. And at WJR, you know, you used to compete against some of the other radio stations in the city. That is not our competition anymore. Our competition is YouTube, X, Facebook, Instagram, and still Channel 4, Channel 7, and, you know, all the other different radio stations that we're competing against. But you are competing with the internet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You don't wait till 5 o'clock p.m. to get a news story up, or even here at WJR. I'm not waiting till 2 o'clock to give you, my thoughts on a topic. We're going to get something out almost immediately on social media and say, hey, we'll talk about, this is what we're going to talk about, and here's my thoughts right now. The internet has changed everything, and a lot to the good, though. Access. You don't have to be in the city of Detroit to listen to WJR on your radio. You could be in California, New York, wherever, and you can listen to WJR.com or the WJR free mobile app and listen to us anywhere in the world. So you can consume that news. You can consume your favorites stations, your favorite hosts right there anywhere you are in the world.
We're talking to Ryan Armani. I quote him now. I am a man of the people. Is there politics in your future, Ryan?
No. I wouldn't say no. I always thought I would like to run for office one day. Jack, I really would, because I think one of the things about me, I feel so blessed in my life. I want to help people as much as I possibly can. But I think politics has become such a nasty business. And if it was just me, I would consider it. But I've got two young kids, and I don't think I would put them through it. You could have the most reasoned voice out there, and people are still going to hate you. I mean, even in this job that I'm in at WJR. I mean, I say a nice thing about Donald Trump, and you would have thought I was the worst person in the world. Conversely, if I say anything negative about Donald Trump, which I have, man, they're coming for you. And it really highlights how polarized we are in society and with our politics. And I just don't think I could put my family through it.
Well, look at Pope Francis. Look at Pope Leo.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
Okay.
But it is something that I have considered.
If you had 1 minute in the Super Bowl to tell the world about Detroit, what would you tell them?
We are among the proudest people in the world. There is no city like Detroit. We love Detroit. Detroiters don't want to go anywhere. Detroiters love Detroit, and we will do anything for this city. We will wear it on our hearts. We will wear it in our minds. And we protect each other. The city of Detroit is home. That's what I would tell everybody.
Ryan Armani, I echo Bill Bonds, the late, great Bill Bonds. You are really good. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Jack. On. Thank you.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.